easily train and protect your firefighter crew to NFPA 1851 standards. With effective washer extractors that sanitize PPE, simple record keeping, and proper training on how to be NFPA 1851 compliant, UniMac is called on by fire crews everywhere. Get details at unimac.com/cleangear.
There we go. Hey, this is great. After several months, I feel like we got the band back together again. Bill Gustin, Miami-Dade, Clark Lamping, Clark County Fire, Dan Shaw, Fairfax, Captain Mike, winner of this year's Tom Brennan Lifetime Achievement Award. You should have won it several years before, and man, I can't think of anybody more qualified or deserving. Mike, God bless you and congratulations. Newly appointed captain in the training division of the Oakland Fire Department, Daryl Liggins. Welcome to the club, Daryl. Welcome to the club. And believe me, you will effect more change on your department being in that training division than you ever did in the field. That's just the way it works. And if it's anything like what I've experienced, you're going to be tasked with some really interesting things. So I'm really happy to have you all back after the summer. I don't know the next time we meet, Captain Mike. I don't have a calendar in front of us. So I don't know if September 11th is going to come and go before we have our next meeting. Mike, would you have a calendar there? You could take a look and see.
It's going to be September 8th, Cap. September 8th
okay.
is going to be
all right. Well, then we're going to talk about September 11th. That'll be 20 years ago. And I talked to a group of fire recruits yesterday, and through no fault of their own, you know, they weren't born.
Well, yeah. Bill, I got to tell you, I will not be here on September 8th. I am having the honor and the privilege of addressing the military firefighter recruits from all five branches of the service, Coast Guard, Army, Navy, Marines, and Air Corps. And I am going to be addressing their 300, I think it's 300 cadets in San Angelo, Texas. And I am also going to be later having lunch with all of their career officers for that. So that is going to be the highlight of my September 11th ceremonies, because I can't think of a better way to pay it forward than to address these young men and women who are starting in the fire service. And a lot of them were not even born on September 11th.
Oh, Mike, congratulations, man. And, you know, we're all proud of you. And you represent fire engineering, FDIC, and you represent us, you know, our group, of our band of thieves here. And my gosh, that is a wonderful opportunity. And of course, you're very qualified and deserving of that. I hope, will it be archived, Mike?
I do not know that, Bill. I will find out when I talk to them. But if it is, I will let you know. And I can't wait to talk to these people who are just starting. They're kids. They're just starting their career in the fire service. And sure. I'm looking so forward to this.
Sure. We're going to be talking about hose today. We're kind of getting back to the basics. And because I got a wild hair. I'm not going to say where it is, but I got a wild hair. I've got a something I feel very passionate about. And not to air my department's dirty laundry in public, but we're pretty much a transparent department. And we're always striving to evaluate new things and reevaluate things that we've been doing for years. So we have been using a certain hose load since 1979. And it's time for us to take a look, because things have changed since we introduced that hose load. And I'll get into more detail here momentarily. And then we're going to look at some pictures to get us in the right frame of mind. But as long as we're talking about hoes, we might as well talk about key hoes, because that's my favorite. And it's my favorite because they're dragging it around out there on that asphalt that probably is 110 degrees right now, out on that drill ground. And it's, I say it every month, take the key challenge. I don't care what grade you buy of key hose, try to kink it. Try to kink it. Just the other day, I had my hands on the Combat Sniper, which is a little smaller diameter version of the Combat Ready. It has the same remarkable kink resistance through the weave design. In other words, the liner and the fabric of the first jacket are extruded together, and the outer jacket is simply there for abrasion and heat resistance. Your Combat Sniper is, as my friend Mark Lighthill likes to say, who is their sales manager and one of their researchers, is because they're always looking for new things and they're very responsive. It's happy gallons per minute. It's happy space is 160 gallons a minute. It's 160 gallons a minute, whereas the Combat Ready would be more in the neighborhood of the 185 gallons a minute. So, Peter, thank you so much. I hit you with so many things. And if you could bring up the first picture, my department has been using the triple layer, also called the S-load, since 1979. There we go. And there's your S load showing one of its biggest drawbacks is that you are dragging the entire line and you are dragging it in three layers. Now, the idea behind it, and under ideal conditions, it works great, because what you're doing is you're stacking three layers of your stretch that's pre-connected. Say 200 feet, and you're loading it in three layers. So when you pull the line with the nozzle with the loop in roughly 70 feet, one third of the overall length of the stretch, you've got it out of the cross lay bed. So in a suburban setting, where an apparatus with a cross lay can pull up in front of a private dwelling, a house that has a setback, let's say 75 feet, suburbia, and you can pull it at direct right angles and go to the front door, it works fine. But that's not Miami-Dade County of 2021. Miami-Dade County of 2021 is highly, highly urbanized. A significant number of single family homes have been renovated either legally or illegally to house one or more families. So the opportunities of us reaching a fire coming through the front door is significantly less than it was in 1979. And we're stretching hose, dragging hose around a multitude of obstacles. Now, this is a staged picture, okay? However, that gentleman that is going to be introduced to the criminal justice system that's in the back of that car, that was not staged. But this is the problem with this, is that we're dragging our hose and it is just being attracted to what I call hose magnets. Can I go to the next picture? Because I want Mike to weigh in on this one. Mike, this is obviously an FDNY engine.
Engine 15.
And Mike, arguably, no one stretches hose around corners, around obstacles, upstairs, return stairways, wrap around stairways, wrapped around an elevator, better than the FDNY. Now, they have the hose load, they have the people, and they have the training. But that's not suburbia. You're looking at apparatus that's got 750 gallons. Yeah, you can get an L-shaped water tank, but that hose, right, that rig right there, you guys have not lost sight of the purpose of a fire department pumper, which is to carry, deploy, and pump hose. The reality is in today's fire service, we are a multi-service, multi-hazard business. So we've got a ton of extrication tools. Now we've got decontamination tools in these compartments, hazardous material mitigation tools, 5-gallon containers of foam. I mean, we are packed up. We have our hose extension packs and our standpipe, 2-inch standpipe packs as well. So we're packed up. But Mike, the tire rim, is that something that is, and you know where it goes. It goes right in front of the hose magnet. It would go right in front of that the tire of that police car.
Absolutely. The nickname of that piece of apparatus is called the fifth man.
The fifth man. I like it.
Okay, because a lot of our engines only have 4 firefighters, so they only have 3 doing the stretch.
So, Mike, what you do by having that, you have eliminated that guy that's going to have to be the conveyor right there between the apparatus and the first obstacle.
Hopefully, Bill, but the problem with it, like everything else, is the hose has to stay where you put it. It can't get snagged and get pulled up or caught or anything else. It's a great tool, but it's not the end all be all that a firefighter with his eyes looking at it, he or she could be down there looking at it and seeing any other snags that come into place. But it does help us get around those tires on those cars when we are stretching. And we in New York, just like Miami-Dade, have all of the cars, have all of the double parked cars, have the apparatus being blocked out and everything else. So a lot of our companies have these things and they use them, and they use them very, very well to help them stretch around these things.
And you know, you spent most of your time on ladder companies, and you know, our mentor, the namesake of your award is Tom Brennan.
Yep.
A ladder company guy. Yep. I think a 111, right, Mike?
111, right down the road from us.
Okay. And as ardent a truck firefighter as he was, I know there were a few things that angered him more than a ladder company person walking past a kink in a hose line. And man, that would piss him off.
It should piss everybody off, Bill. It should piss everybody off. The hose is not covered with dog feces. The hose is not electric. You can bend down and pick it up. Water is what puts the fire out. Kevin Shea, who I love, and we all know, his father was the captain of 82 engine back in the heyday. And I never forget when Kevin's father told me one time we met and he said, you know what the truck is without the engine? I said, no, sir. What is it? He said, 6 more victims.
You got it, brother.
And we need to help the engine find the fire in some of those big buildings. We don't want to be stretching up the wrong wing of the building, which I have been, you know, we get, it's up here. It's up here. We get up there as the truck. And the guy says, yeah, I got smoke in my apartment. We're looking around. We go to the window, look outside. It's the adjoining apartment on the back wing of the building. So we have to go back downstairs, 6 floors down, back up, 6 floors up to get to it. And that's the way it's supposed to work. That time it didn't quite work that way. We kind of did something that wasn't, we went over the roof and back down. But that's not recommended. That's not recommended. But the thing with this is again, the truck and the engine have to work together. And there is nothing wrong with bending down and helping your brothers and sisters get that hose into place, because that's what's going to put the fire out. That's what's going to eliminate our problems. And we need that hose line.
Pete, can you show the next picture? Okay, this is not what we want. As the nozzle firefighter, you are responsible for 50 feet, at least 50 feet. If we're going to a private dwelling, at least 50 feet. We want that hose laid out in line with the sidewalk. Preferably bring your coupling or couplings up onto a porch if there is one, so that the couplings don't hang up on the stair treads. I want to give a shout out to Steve Robertson from Columbus, Ohio. Fantastic job, Steve. He teaches with such a passion. His class was at FDIC was Stretching for Success. If you ever have a chance to attend one of Steve's classes, either hands-on or in the classroom, he gets it. He gets it, and his class is applicable to any size fire department. So what we got here is we're doing the pull and pile, and we're taking the nozzle and running with it. And that's not what we want. So can we go to the next picture there, Peter? All right, so with the triple layer, this is basically what we're forced to do, Daryl, is that we have to improvise some type of load, in this case, a reverse horseshoe, by walking back on the line and gathering up sections in order for us to be able to carry something that goes around corners. Next picture, Pete. Look at that crazy old man snuck out of the nursing home and he's pretending to be a fireman. And, but there he is. And we're picking up the whole, next. All right, so now we're gonna go through this fence gate, but look at the obstacles. And then not to mention with the double parked cars. So, and then all the crap in the front yard, the junk cars, this is not Beverly Hills, okay? You've got junk cars, you've got junk lawnmowers. There's a multitude of obstacles, a minefield of obstacles. In the next picture. All right, this to me, I took this picture several years ago. This is Broward Sheriff Fire Rescue. This is a simple flat load, but look at, and that is not a tall firefighter right there. Not a tall firefighter. In fact, intentionally, they picked the shortest guy. Now, what this guy does, because this crosslay is at a sensible height, he can pull the load, part of the load or all the load, out halfway and then twist it. I think the next picture will show you how he twists it so that it plays out like a Minuteman load, so that the nozzle is closer to the body. And I think that might be the last picture there. We got any more? Yeah, and you could go through a multitude. Now, I'm up for suggestions. Let's open this thing up. Clark, you're in a highly urban area, the metro Las Vegas area. I visited your firehouses, but I do not remember your hose load configuration. How does your department configure and deploy hose when you have a multitude of obstacles, such as stairs and fences and vehicle tires, Clark?
Yeah, Gustin, we have all of our cross lays are loaded the same flat lay. We have 2 inch and 3/4, 200 foot fog nozzles, and then we have a 2.5 inch, 200 foot fog nozzle as well. And they're flat loaded with two loops. We have the same, it is a very, very old load, and we have the same challenges that you have. We have discussed, and that's the majority of what comes off is the crosslay. The back, we have 2 500 foot sections of static line, and then we have 1,000 feet of 5 inch supply. And then we have a couple bundles. We have the Cleveland load, which I know you're a huge fan of. And we have a couple loads like that. What we found works for us. And again, we have an engine manufacturer that we told the engine manufacturer that we need a shorter wheelbase because our guys are tearing. We have too compact in our first in. So we wanted a shorter wheelbase, but we said, we don't want to give up any cabinet space. So what do? Now our engines are so tall now that you have to step up on a step to even access the cross lays. So what we figured out works best for us right now is two firefighters deploy the hose simultaneously. Each grabs a section and they pull it out, and they can pull it parallel to the engine in either direction, get the hose out, and then they walk together and walk towards the objective.
We call that the close quarters maneuver. And we do that when we've got a fence right there. Yep. Or we do that in a trailer park. In other words, you can't pull it at right angles to the apparatus. So you got to get it out of the bed. Now, do you have loops in your hose load to facilitate that that pulling? And can you pull it from either side of where the nozzle is sitting?
Yes, sir. Yes, there's a loop on the first and the third section of hose. First and third section have a loop, and there's loops on both sides. So it could come off either side of the apparatus.
And can you gather the hose and put it on your forearm or on your shoulder if you're going around a lot of obstacles?
If you are about 7 feet tall, you can. Okay. But really, the hose load, it is the top of the hose load might be over 8 feet in the air.
We just had somebody weigh in on a load that they suggested, and I'm going to look at that during the archive version. But I encourage folks to weigh in on this. Good thing about this thing is we're going into this with an open mind. My objective is take a look at the triple layer and then determine, is that good? And if it's not good, then we'll start looking at alternatives. I don't want to start with a preconceived notion, try to sell any kind of hose load. So we're experimenting. And that's one good thing about Miami-Dade. So Chief Dan, I know it's been a long time since you've, because you've got so many damn meatballs on your badge. I don't know how you have so many bugles on your badge. Do you like alternate days? So you don't get scoliosis because you've got such a heavy badge. What rank are you now?
No, I give them to my aide. He carries them.
Okay, he carries your badges around. All right, good.
No, not that many, man. Not that many at all. I'm just a deputy chief.
All right. Can you? I'm gonna same question.
Chief. No, we spent a lot of time on this. To your point, is really working towards making sure we have the best hose load for the mission and taking away the personalities and the egos of it. And I will preface it too. I mean, again, if we had the staffing, and we have four in every engine, if we had the staffing that Mike had in his department, I think we could go away, because I think crosslays have become the dumbification of the fire service. You're because they took away the thinking process, right? Because Mike's control man has to estimate the stretch and figure it out, whereas is your one of your pictures showed, the house is 50 feet away and we pull 400 feet of hose because that's the hose load we have. But to that point, our engines are set up very, very similar. We have a hose donut roll on the front bumper that's used for any means they want to. Typically it's used for a lot of either really close to the house or for dumpster fires, car fires, things of that nature. We have two crosslays. We use Minuteman, and look, I'm an advocate for my 26 plus years in Fairfax. It's all we ever had. I've never understood the load that you're going away from. I came from a system that we had the flat load, so I don't understand why you'd want to use a load which you have to flip it to make it look like a Minuteman. Just use a Minuteman. We love the Minuteman. It really works out well for us. That's 200 and 250, but we also give leeway to the captains to make sure that it's a minimum of 200, but make it match your first due in your building stock. So if you need a 200 and 300, go with it. If you need 200, go with it. And then on the rear end of the engine, we do not do any lines with gated Ys. So we don't. We used to do the apartment pack, the leader line, the 2.5 for the gated Y with another 200 feet of 3/4. And thankfully, we evolved to understand that in theory sounds great, but in practice, it's just not a good idea. So we run a 400-foot 3/4 hose line off the back. That is a three, it's a Minuteman load, essentially, but it's a three-person load. So shoulder, drag, and two shoulder loads and a drag. And three guys take that and they're gone. Works out really well. Or two can take it if they need to. And then, you know, there's a, we do 4-inch supply line and 3-inch supply line. And then every engine has hose bundles for high rise, inch 3/4 and 2.5. And then our nozzles are all the same. Years ago, we did this, and I was very fortunate where I work. We're hiring, by the way. Very fortunate where I work that they were completely supportive of doing a nozzle project where we saw that we had, you know, these larger departments, a lot of times you end up with civilians just ordering from a catalog to replace your nozzles. And we found that we had 10 different types of Akron nozzles on our engines, which was problematic because you looked at the numbers and, you know, this order some. So essentially we designed our own nozzle with Akron, which is a 15/16 tip with a breakaway, fixed gallonage, 175 gallonage, follower nozzle on the end. So it gives you the option of, again, we give the options to the captains. If you're going to run with the 15/16, that's fine. If you're going with 175 GPM, that's fine also. And then all our nozzles are 50 PSI, just to streamline, so everything's 50 PSI.
And is it an integral smoothbore?
Yeah.
Integral smoothbore. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then you got a 175, close enough, 10 gallons a minute.
Yeah, so 175 to 185. Yep, you want to make right. the change and go right. to it, you can.
Okay. I got to relate this to you. It's somebody that we both admire and look up to very much. At my workshop, I look in the back of the class and I see Chief Larry Schultz.
He's the man.
And he is the man, but, you know, I said, oh, my God, now I'm going to get nervous. I said, I went back there and I said, Chief, thanks for coming, but you intimidate the crap out of me. I said, Chief, you know how I feel right now, Chief? You know how you make me feel? You make me feel like Kim Kardashian's fifth husband on our wedding night. In other words, I know what to do, but I'm not sure I can make it interesting for you. But God bless that guy.
Always a student of the trade, man.
Always a student. He sets a good example. Yep. And from DC, I understand he cut his teeth on DC Engine 10. And another dear friend that I've acquired over the years is Dave Hibben, who was also an Engine 10 guy. You know, my dad told me years ago, Bill, you're going to find out that some of the best firefighters on some of your busiest companies tend to be a little odd. Well, you know, look at me. You don't get any weirder than I am. But, you know, you get a guy that stays any length of time at a company like Engine 10 that runs 10,000 runs a year. Man, you know, after a while, you're talking to yourself. But both of those guys did it, Dave Hibben and and Larry Schultz. So, Larry, if you're watching, man, that meant the world to me.
And so, Larry's still doing it, man.
Yeah.
I mean, again, he's in a great role right now, leading an organization and doing great stuff.
Captain Mike, when you load your hose bed, you do something a little different. I call it the typewriter, if you remember what a typewriter is. Because when you get to the end of the line, you go back, you cross back over. Can you explain that? That's the difference. And if you'd like, I could bring the picture back up, but that's up to you.
You don't have to bring the picture back up, Bill. We cross it over at the back to make it easier to come off in the front. And it just works for us. And it's worked so well for us for so many years that we like to do it. And I know it's tradition and everything else. And I just think that the engine companies, they load what works for them in their response areas. And it depends on if you're in a private dwelling area in Queens. You know, you're looking for speed and mobility to get in there. If you're looking for a tenement area where you need to go up a bunch of stairs, then maybe you're going to load a different load, a different number of lengths of 1 3/4 versus the filled out with 2.5. And again, it's going to be a difference. We don't have, the only pre-connects we have are our trash lines
in the front. Mike, so your companies, I'm going to guess it's the captain of the company, has the latitude to tailor his hose load for his response area?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Now I'm going to get a pushback because of standardization. However, Daryl, I already sent you the memo I wrote. We have two criterias for whatever hose load if we do choose to replace the triple layer. Number one, it's got to be foolproof. That means fireman proof. Okay. That means anybody can pull it. You can't screw it up. And number two, it has to be forgiving. It can't be so precise when you load it. You know, loading a triple layer load, you're loading three layers. The hose all has to be connected at one time. And we have to use our roller that we use for our large diameter hose and roll it and roll the air out and go back and roll it again and roll it again and then try to pack that in. It's not. And the ergonomics of a new apparatus, and I wonder how many fire departments actually do this. They go to the, during the design phase, do we ever consider where people are going to stand, how they're going to reach when they're loading, say, a cross leg? Do we ever really consider that? And I would say for the most part, my department included, no, we don't. One of these days, somebody's going to take a header off of a modern fire apparatus, which is about 11 feet in the air, and they're going to get their feelings hurt. And that's another factor. Go ahead, Mike.
When I was in the FDNY, I was on the apparatus committee for the trucks. And we were going down to look at some rigs at that time. And we were going for 3 days, two nights. And I showed up with a suitcase. And a guy looked at me who was in charge from the fiscal side of government. He was in charge from DCAS. And he said, you know, we're going for two nights. I said, I know. And he said, you know, we got to pay for that. I said, I know. He goes, what do you think we're doing? You going out to dinner? I said, no, that's my bunker gear. I said, I'm not going onto a rig without my bunker gear. I said, it's my boots, my gear. When we get down there, I want an air pack. I said, I don't have my helmet, but I don't really need my helmet, but I'm going to sit in that rig and climb on that rig in full gear. And anyone who's on an apparatus committee for an engine or a truck who's not bringing someone, they're outliers. Their tallest guy, is he going to hit his shins? Their shortest guy, is he or she going to have a tough time jumping up? Their heaviest guy, whatever it is. If you're not bringing people down there to sit in the seats, in their bunker gear, and to participate in this and see how that hose is going to come off that rig, then you're not doing yourself in the job of service. Then you get it up there and you have a problem. We need a step stool to get on the back step. Okay. And I know places who put drop down steps because they have problems getting up on the rig off the street, especially during the winter when it's slippery and everything else. This is part of what our job is, our people who are going down there. And that's why we, as firefighters and fire officers, have to get involved in our rigs, in our apparatus committees, in everything else to see how we are going to make this work for our department. I don't think any one of us, our departments, have the same exact setups on our rigs. But we find out what works. Daryl might see what works in New York City and say, wow, we're going to try that. Okay. Dan might say, well, in this area, we're going to all private dwellings. We ain't going to do that. That's never going to work for us. And then Clark's going, I'm going to a high-rise hotel. I need something totally different. But you have to look at this. And if you're not spending time doing that and you're not involved in it, then you really don't have, if you don't have a seat at the table, you shouldn't be complaining if you don't actively try to get there.
Hey, Bill, can I add one thing to your point also? And I think we are going to that trend. I know from my year I spent in support services, which, you know, that includes apparatus, we dropped the hose beds considerably. And that's pushing the manufacturer to kind of redesign what they're doing with the tank in the back of the engine to be able to reconfigure that to make sure that we're not making the things so top heavy it's going to flip over, but two, but also to meet the ergonomics of the workforce that we hire. And you look at our mutual friend, what Ricky's doing over in PG. I mean, some of those engines he's designing every single day, I mean, they're beautiful. They're set up for that exact reason. So I think in a lot of, I see a lot in the Nova region where I am, that a lot of us are mirroring, a lot of what our rigs look like, of dropping the rear hose beds, trying to bring the cross lays down a little bit lower, and making it so it's a quick deployment of those hose lines. But Mike's exactly right. I mean, it comes from getting good intel from the people who are doing it every day, and then pushing the manufacturers to start to redesign the apparatus to what you want. Because it's convenient for them just to push out a rig that they do all the time, and that's a standard template, versus, hey, I need these added extra things. I mean, my eyes were open when I went to our manufacturers and walked around with our apparatus guys, and, hey, why do we have not a flat roof, a flat roof on our engines, but we have the raised roof in the back? Yeah? Stand up one time. Oh, okay. So getting out of the rig with your SCBA and your 6.1, you know, that extra couple inches of space is huge when I'm trying to get out of the rig with my SCBA and not hit it on the door on my way out. So I think we're seeing that trend. I mean, I know just in the Nova region, including our Maryland partners in DC, you know, they're working together, which is a fantastic thing. And they're putting all those apparatus guys who do all that design from Maryland, Virginia, DC, all together, meeting once a month to talk about what they're specking and brainstorming those ideas to make that collective group. So I think we are seeing that change in that trend.
And you're, for our viewers, you're referring to Ricky Riley. He specs the apparatus for
PG. Prince George's County.
Prince George's County. Anything that he writes, I think he writes for Fire Apparatus and Equipment Journal. He gets it. He gets it, and I get it. When I was referring to Dave Hibben, who's an Engine 10 guy, he works for Kehoe's. And you don't get a more experienced firefighter than the fellas that work for Key. The vast majority of them are not only retired guys, but retired hands-on guys with years and years of firefighting experience. So they've had their hands on the hose quite a bit. I'm going to ask Daryl, but before I start, I want to talk about our mutual friend, because it is Dennis Laguerre. He made a comment in, I think it was on Facebook, about how Miami-Dade has chosen to put the relocate with our new apparatus, to put the breathing apparatus back in the cab. And he did it with class. He did it with class. It actually was a compliment for our department. Because basically what he said was, we're the sixth biggest fire department in the United States. We tried something. It didn't work as we planned. So we admitted it didn't work as planned, and we corrected it. So we left the egos out. And I just think the way that he worded it was just, it shows what a class act that this Dennis Laguerre is. If you're watching, Dennis, God bless you, brother. And I hope your feet feel better. Daryl, I'm going to hit you up with the same questions. By the way, I'll hit you up with the same questions. But my point is with Key is that you're talking to people that have great credibility when you're dealing with a representative from Key, at least for the manufacturer. So, Daryl, I'm gonna let you take the stage here for a while, and I'm really interested what you have to say. I know you're an engine guy at heart. And okay, if I could just tell a story. You know, when you get old, you start to tell a lot of stories. So I go to teach a class in Modesto, California. Why the hell they would have me, I don't know. So, and then Bobby Halton, and I saw you there teaching, but I didn't, and I went to your class, but I didn't know who you were. I just knew that you were very handsome looking, ruggedly handsome, dark skinned guy. Probably lost your call. Should have been a movie star or something like that, or at least a Calvin Klein underwear model. Maybe that would have been a thing. But so I watched this guy, the way he handles the hose and the way he talks. And then it wasn't long after that that Bobby Halton asked me to assemble a group of a diverse group from around the country. And I said, I got just the guy on the West Coast. But I didn't know who you were. So I went back to the guy on Modesto and I showed a picture. I said, who is this guy? And that's how I got your contact information. What do we got here? More comments. Randy Wong, it's what? Listen, I'll look at these archive versions and I'll have some answers for because, or you got to keep the hashtag up there longer because, all right, no problem, Cam. Oh. Okay. All right, go ahead, Daryl.
If this is, I can't see which Randy Wong it is, but if it's the Randy Wong, I think it is. He works in Gilroy, assistant chief. How are you doing, Randy?
He's did from a paramedic.
Oh, okay. Different Randy Wong. I didn't think there was only one. So let me shut my phone up here. I don't know if it's the coffee I've been having or this topic, but I just get tingles when we start talking about hose loads and efficiency. There's so much to talk about. And I'm fortunate that I have experience with a lot of, you know, variety from the triple load gated wise, the pre-connects, flat loads, and Minutemans and all that. And, you know, just in full disclosure, I think that FDNY load is misunderstood by so many people, thinking that it takes a lot of people and it's only for a large urban city going up tenements. It's one of the most versatile hose loads, the simplest hose load, I think, on the face of the planet. It takes less people and works in a lot of areas. And we modeled our static load here in Oakland, which then Portland followed and modeled their static load after that load. And it's tremendously versatile. If people think New York City is just a bunch of high rises, and Mike can attest to this, there's plenty of areas that look like the town I'm in, with just a lot of private dwellings. And it's when you look at departments with a lot of variety that do a lot of fire duty, whether it's Los Angeles City or Detroit or New York, when you get engine companies that do not try to have a variety show, you know, from district to district, which that's usually tied to pre-connects, that this district wants this length pre-connect and this district wants this length. It's remarkable that you could go from a high-rise district to a brownstone district to a area up in the Hollywood Hills to a place with a lot of seemingly suburban houses and have a department that has the same load, because it's a very simple static load. And I think the simplicity almost scares people, but it works very well. Now, here's part of the issue. I think earlier we talked about staffing. Sure, some of these departments have higher staffing, but regardless what your staffing is, you have to get the hose from point A to point B. And a lot of the other types of loads, whether you're extending a line or doing a gated Y operation, is more manpower intensive. You're carrying heavier hose and making more connections and things like that. So I think that is a big myth. When it comes to making changes and evaluating different systems, I would implore you all to look at something called status quo bias. And just as humans, one of our flaws as humans is we find something that seemingly works. You know, you hunted the animal, you used this weapon, you got food, so it's deeply ingrained. And there's a huge resistance to change, or you may not be eating if you try a different method. So whether, whatever your situation is, we are so comfortable with that situation and comfortable that it worked, that we're just going to stick with it. So that's called status quo bias. And I think we're all guilty of it. And it's what causes people to stay in bad relationships, or scared to sell their house, or resistant to change a job, or get a new car, or even get a new pair of shoes, for God's sakes. You're comfortable where you are, and we tend to stay there in our comfort zone. And when we say things like we have an open mind, sometimes we're not as open as as we think. And so anyway, being part of a lot of different changes in my organization, what I have found is it's not about the equipment. It's not necessarily convincing people that a smoothbore nozzle is good or a static load is good. It's not about the equipment. We know it works. We have UL studies. We have places with experience. We have things that can show. It's that human nature that we're trying to change to say it's okay to try something different. Because when you take away something people are comfortable with, there's literally a sense of loss. It's something you went to the academy with. It's something you have experience with. It's things you got little tricks of the trade with along the way. You taught other people. And now you're going to take that away and give me something different. There's literally almost like a grieving process in that change. But there's a couple of quotes I wanted to talk about. One is from Albert Einstein. He said, everything should be made as simple as possible, but no simpler. And when I look at that static load on the back of that FDNY engine, it is very simple. It really can't get as much simple. You pull off what you need and you hook it up to the engine. You don't need a person at the tailboard. We all have a pump operator that could break the line. That's what we do in our town. Another quote I was thinking of was, I'm forgetting my train of thought right now, but Elon Musk had one. And he said, the best process is no process. And we have a process, but what we're really doing is minimizing the amount of processes that we have. We don't have to have a crosslay here and a different length crosslay loaded this way and one off the back and a gated Y operation. And then the final one I'll say, I just recalled, my brain is working again, was from Bruce Lee. He said, I fear not the man that's practiced 10,000 kicks. I fear the man that's practiced one kick 10,000 times. And that is what the FDNY load or a simple static load that works in a large variety of situations is. They've practiced this one stretch to 10,000 jobs. And it builds in that efficiency and works in a variety of areas. But yeah, I think overall, if somebody is out there trying to make a change, they have to look at changing that human nature and not so much the equipment and be inclusive with that.
Well, fellas, you know what I think? I think we're looking at our keynoter for FDIC 2023 or 2024. Because you are one eloquent guy, no matter you, no wonder you're my hero. That was very insightful. Now, that's a lot of hose in a small place. So that's what we're working on. And the fellas are coming up with this on their own. And I'm proud of the department for, in a way, what you were talking about, Daryl, it's kind of like you're going to have to get out of your comfort zone. And also, you can't be afraid to fail. You know, you try, hey, fellas, I want to show you this load. And it fails, okay? Let's let it fail out here on the drill ground, not on the fire ground. But, and I like what you said about a system that's not a system or something. And that's basically what I was saying about a hose load has got to be foolproof. So any fool can pull it, and forgiving, so it doesn't have to be that precise.
Bill, can I say something about trying and failing?
Yes, sir.
When I was a fireman back in Spanish Harlem, we had some companies who wanted to try one length of 1 3/4 on the standpipe kit for fires in the projects to see how well it worked, to give them a little more speed and mobility moving with the 1 3/4. At the time with our nozzles and everything else. And we went to a job and it turned out in the apartment, they were making the cocaine, the freebase stuff with the ether and everything. And let me tell you something, the engines got their asses kicked. They got it handed to them. And the chief said, well, that's a failed experiment. I never want to see another length of 1 3/4 on a standpipe in my battalion, period, end of story. And We tried. We failed. It didn't work. Now, it was one of the weird ones. It was a little bit of an outlier or whatever else. But again, we can try these things. And we've tried a lot of things in the fire service with that have failed. But there's nothing wrong with trying them. It's better if we try them, like you said, at the drill ground. We try our loads, we try our nozzles and everything else. And there are some that failed, but we have to keep on trying to get better.
Mike, it's that ego. It's that, you know, I keep getting calls from legions of adoring females.
Doctor's offices?
What's that?
Doctor's offices?
No, nursing homes.
AARP.
Nursing homes.
Hey, Bill, can I add one thing to what you're talking about?
Yeah, man. Hey, are we hard and faster? Or can we go a little bit over, Peter? Good to go. Okay. Go ahead, Chief.
So one of the things we added to our rigs that was really huge for in helping us is to the point all these guys have been talking about, right? Because the fires don't assimilate to our manuals. The fire always gets a boat. It's going to do its thing, and we have to make sure we can get a hose line to it. So with our crosslays, one of the things we put on all our crosslays was a 6-foot pony sleeve that goes from that chicksaw valve
to
where a line connects. And that gave us the ability that, hey, if I need a 400 line, a second one, or a 450-foot line, I don't have to crawl on top of the engine, try to get my hand down and my sausage-length fingers and disconnect this thing from the top of the engine, which I haven't done in a year. But if I have that 6-foot pony sleeve and I pull it on my shoulder and I pull it out and I take that load on my shoulder, I walk out, the driver disconnects it, we're gone. And that was really huge for us because one of the requirements I have for our guys, our fourth engine is always our RIT. And when we start a RIT, you know, we essentially told people, bring the equivalent of a rescue squad and accumulate in the front yard. But yet I've never heard anyone ever call a Mayday and say, I need 3 Stokes baskets and 2 chainsaws. You know, what they say is, I need air or I need water. So if our engine is going to be our RIT, you know, I want the engine to have a hose line and they have to have air. The other companies we have coming in, which is another assignment we have, will handle a lot of that other parts of it. So, you know, the engines, that gave them another option was, hey, I'm the fourth due engine. I don't have to pull a hose line off the first due engine that's parked in the front, or the second is on the plug, or the third in the rear. I can walk up with my shoulder load of 200 feet, go to the engine, say, hey, that discharge you have right there, I need that for the RIT. And they deploy the line, they're right there where they need to be, and they're in a great position. So, you know, something that costs absolutely nothing of having a pony sleeve can give you so many options. And to Daryl's point is, you know, we're looking for mastery, right? You know, you're a master of your craft. That's what I'm looking for, is that, you know, autonomy breeds mastery. So the more that you have autonomy to think like a company officer and to accomplish that task, and we can be a simple tool like that and not to overthink the problem. So just a really small thing that was incredibly beneficial for us.
Well, in my classes, and I think you and I are the only two guys on the fire department that agree to this, the most overlooked, underestimated, neglected piece of equipment for a rapid intervention company or team is a friggin' hose line. Like you say, it's either going to be air or it's going to be water. Yeah. If I've got a burning facade in the front of a store fall down on top of me and I'm on fire, that's what I'm going to need. And I think that's neglect. As Jerry Tracy says, are you really going to rely, if you're trapped inside a building, those men with tools, he calls it, men with tools standing there like shepherds, even if the RIT team softens the building, you know, outside vent, opens up alternate means of egress, puts up ladders, familiarizes themselves with the layouts, we're still overlooking what I think is an essential piece of equipment.
Well, I mean, look, you bring all these tools. Tell me what's rapid about that. That's eventual intervention.
Eventual intervention. I like that.
I mean, what's rapid is, I think I'm burning to death. I would like you to keep this fire off of me.
Well, yeah, I think we're really speaking to the point of how important efficiency is. I have no doubt every firefighter across this country will get a nozzle to the fire. The real question is the efficiency of that stretch. We could drive any rig down into Manhattan and somebody's going to get whatever rig they have. They're going to get a line up there, but it may not be pretty and it may not be efficient. It may be efficient for a niche area of of their district or something. But what I think is overlooked is that there are other loads out there that are that can be just as efficient and not work for the 90% of what they're looking for. But I think that load is so dialed, it is almost mastery in my mind, that it works for nearly 100%, unless the stretch is over 800 feet long or something like that. But we may need that line for us as well as a victim very rapidly. And if we can eliminate, I think a lot of what I've learned over the years is this isn't about adding more equipment for variables. It's about elimination of options that work for a wide variety of variables. So when I started my current department, we had four different pre-connects. We were carrying more 1¾ than the FDNY. 150 on the bumper, a 200, a 250, a 300 on the back, and then the two bundles of 1¾ for a gated Y operation. Over 1,000 feet of 1¾. To have a line 50 feet longer, you had to have a whole another 200 feet and then another 50 feet. It's kind of crazy when you think about it from the cost. And then even just putting everybody on the same page, I have definitely been to jobs where I had one firefighter going to one crosslay and the other going to a different one, thinking something else was going on. That's not going to happen in Detroit or Cleveland or LA or FDNY, because they're going to one large static bed, and that adds a tremendous amount of efficiency. The other thing is we had talked about that triple load working very well if it's one straight line. That doesn't mean the other loads aren't going to work well if it's in one straight line. I mean, anything can work in that situation. But I have to give credit to my other partner in crime, not just Dennis Laguerre, but Jay Camella, who taught me a lot.
Fine man.
He told me it is not efficient to drag hose. It's efficient to carry it. And he really worked on people carrying hose so you can get it through that junkyard or staircases or over debris of the cars and things like that. And that is 100% true.
Do you still have contact with Jay?
Oh yeah, we live nearly in the same town.
Would you send that to Jay, please?
I will.
Please, because that's my whole philosophy. I want to carry the hose. I don't want to drag it. I want to carry it. I got to tell you, I want to thank you guys because I needed this. I needed somebody to ignite the fire in my belly. And what we've been talking about for the last hours was just absolutely spot on. And it's given me some really good ammunition. We're going to wrap this up. But before we do that, we're going to thank our friends at Key. That's keyhose.com. Just briefly, Daryl, we talk about stretching a... not using a Y anymore, not using a trunk line. Well, it used to be years ago, the limit you would have of 1¾ was 300 feet. Those days are long gone for two reasons, brother. One is we're using a low pressure nozzle. So you're dealing with an extra 50 pounds you can use for additional friction loss. The other thing is let's just use Key Combat Ready at 185 gallons a minute. It's 25 pounds friction loss per 100 feet. You stretch 400 or 500 feet. And remember, it's almost always, with maybe the exception of like you're going to shut off a valve, an LP tank or something. But other than that, first line first. I think it's the FDNY, Mike, that they won't hesitate to team up the first three engine companies to get that first critical line into operation. Am I correct on that? You're muted, Mike.
Yeah, absolutely, Bill. Absolutely. At minimum, the first line is two engine companies. At minimum. Okay? Unless it's a single story area of Queens or something like that, a 1.5-story, a 2-story private dwelling, and the adjoining building is catching on fire. then they might, but they're going to always team up two engine companies.
All right. Well, fellas, I think we're going to wrap it up for today. What a great discussion. And you know what? Isn't it something we go all over the mat? What do we always seem to come back to is the basics, and we all have a passion for it. Captain Mike, man, what a distinct honor for you to be addressing the military on 9/11 and also for your award, for your Lifetime Achievement Award. And I am proud to call you my friend and to know you. And as I said, anybody that has ever been touched by Captain Mike in training or at work has to be a better firefighter, a better fire officer, and a better person because of his interactions with Captain Mike. So, fellas, what a great, great meeting we had today. And I thank you all, and you really charged me up. Until next month, be safe. For God's sake, be healthy, and God bless.